This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And we have plenty to get into today. We have a new managerial search for one of Beam's favorite teams, his favorite team outside of Columbus. So we'll talk about Ten Hag out.
Wash, rinse, repeat, buddy.
Yeah, oh yeah, it'll this time it'll fix it.
It'll work this time.
This time they'll nail it.
I've got faith in them.
There was a big time soccer star who decided to not show up to an award ceremony, and that has had a bunch of people have a variety of takes. We will have some as well. Major League Soccer has decided they want you to freeze and be cold for the majority of their season, so we will get into that.
So has the Columbus Crew.
Dude, talk about cold. Last night, we were recording this podcast on Wednesday. The game was, of course, Tuesday night. The Crew suffered a home loss, not a thing you see often with this Crew team. 1-0 defeat to New York Red Bull. We could go into an hour's worth of discussion about this, but we would, I think, feel all of the points would end back to the same place, which was that was hot poo.
Not good. Laid an egg. Clunker.
Terrible.
Not up to the challenge, whatever you want to call it. It was bad. It was probably the worst game in the Wilfried Nancy era. Knowing what's on the line, what's at stake, playoff game, just laid an absolute goose egg.
You know, the thing I will say that I saw that was very familiar from this game was, and I hate to bring up another game that we didn't enjoy, but if you remember the first Hell is Real from this year, mm-hmm. where the Crew played FC Cincinnati back in the spring and lost at home 2-0, I believe was the score. And it was a very similar, and this was in the midst of they're playing CONCACAF Champions Cup. They've got everyone, you know, they're playing in 19 different things. They got all these games,
yeah.
Fixture congestion, schedule congestion. And in that game, I was like, man, it just looks like every single thing in this game, they look a step slow. They can't, like, all of their creativity was just gone in the offensive third. Anytime they would have something, it would be like, make the pass now. And then a beat later, they would pass it, and there would be a guy in position to tap it away. And then if you did have someone who made a good play, then their goalie would make a save. Does that not sound exactly what happened last night?
Yeah.
It was just 100%.
Red Bulls were better than them last night.
Yeah.
They did what they needed to do. They got a goal in the first half. Christian Ramirez was an inch away from blocking that ball that ultimately went into the net.
Yep.
It took a couple of bounces off of heads. They end up scoring in the 26th minute. You say to yourself, this team has never held to zero at home. Like, they're going to get a goal.
They're going to get shut out at home.
And they did look like they were going to get a goal for the good amount of the second half. But they didn't. Red Bulls, what they did, and they just, the last 30 minutes of the game, said, you know what, we're going to pack it in. Now, they did have a couple opportunities, the one where, I don't know, their attacker who was wide open on Patrick Schulte made a miss, and like that could have
killed the game off. You could say right there, I mean, the Crew are lucky that they had a chance late in this game to win it, because that was also just that's the definition of chasing the game, though, is where you are over pursuing everything, over committing, and then you leave yourself open on the back end to get encountered like that. It was definitely, I don't want to say it was, maybe it was against the run of play for that to happen, but it's not against the run of the game. You know, where the Crew were down in that moment trying to get something and they couldn't. And that, I was like, as soon as I saw the pass, I'm like, oh, we're dead. We're done.
Yep.
I like stood up. I was about to just grab the remote and flip the TV off and be like, 2-0. No way we're coming back in this game. And then somehow Schulte like stopped the initial thing and it went to the end line.
Good job out of him.
He came out.
First of all, he went back.
Yes. And then
he came out.
Right. But then like he recovered in a way that you have to. And I guess the only thing what should have happened from the New York guy is like, how do you not chip him? Just as soon
from
as he starts 30, to move
35 yards.
Yeah. You just chip it and he's not going to get it. But obviously he felt like, I want to dribble around him and score that way. And it didn't work out, thankfully, but it doesn't really matter. It didn't matter. I'm just saying in the moment it kept the game alive for you, but didn't matter because they couldn't find that goal. And I will tell you, I don't mean to single him out. He's not the only one who had a bad night, but like Mo Farsi's defensive efforts, and I do think a lot of times the offensive third, he is adequate in the offensive third. Tremendous in the midfield and defensive third of that game, of most games. But that is the problem I think you see with Mo Farsi sometimes in some matchups, is when he is relied upon to be the guy, and it seemed like New York was basically saying, yeah, attack through the right with Mo Farsi being one of the key components. I don't think Mo had it last night with being able to find that extra pass.
Oh, see, I totally disagree with that.
Really?
I thought he was the best player on the field for us last night.
Defensively, I'm saying I think he covers a lot of ground. He does all that stuff. But in the second half of that game, when it was like, you need something creative, and it looked like the same thing happening over and over and over, was they get the ball down the right inside.
Got that ball into Russell Rowe's head. Like, he got a ball into Ramirez. He got one onto Russell Rowe. Like, he did what he needed to do.
I don't know. That, I guess, but again, that, like, that Russell Rowe ball was like, it was almost there. Like, and you're right, he created.
It wasn't like, almost there like the Cucho ball.
No.
That was it.
No, I know. But, like, I'm just saying, this is something that I feel like at times with him, I feel like we get to a point where when it relies on, when he's the, I felt like New York was basically saying, yeah, let him beat us. And let him be the create. If we're neutralizing everybody else, they didn't want Cucho on the ball like that.
Right.
And if Rossi had been out there, which of course he wasn't, but if he had been one of the ones, you know, I just feel like there were a lot of other guys they would have rather had doing that. The Crew would have. But Farsi, yeah, I mean, he had, I'm not denying that he created a couple chances, but I feel like the chances created were like well covered and would have taken an exceptional play to be finished off. It almost felt like they were saying, yeah, let him have the ball. Let him 1-2 with other guys.
Like play hero ball, kind of.
Yeah, but then when he has to be the one to make the cross in, or when he has to be the one to decide when to go, when to stop, when to whatever, he's just, it's like replacement level attacking versus like Cucho or like Rossi or like the guys who can just create something out of nothing. Farsi, I didn't think, was going to create something out of nothing. He was going to create like hustle plays that maybe if he beats his guy down the line, he can whip that cross in. And then it's going to be a cross that's going to take someone else making a great play to finish it. Not, oh man, he laid it out where he put it in a spot where only a Crew player could get to it and they were wide open.
Yeah, I understand that. But I also think that was, to your point, I think that was Red Bull's plan. And so the Crew said, okay, well, if you're going to give us Mo Farsi on the right,
yeah,
we're going to take Mo Farsi on the right. Like,
yeah, that's what I think he had opportunities because they gave him up. Like, because New York said,
sure,
we would rather you do that than some of the, we're not going to let Cucho get free like that. We're not going to even let like Darlington Nagbe, which he doesn't do a ton of, but he's not going to get a lot of those looks. We're not going to let, you know, Marrera is not going to get, when mm-hmm. he comes up, we're going to be more on him. We're going to kind of attack
or
that
Arson
a little bit.
Or Arson and Zawadzki on that left side. Like they weren't.
They're not letting those guys get, and maybe the Crew said, we think we can attack on this side. I don't really know, but it felt like New York was kind of saying, if that's what you guys want to do, we are okay with that. We do not want Cucho being the one doing that. Mm-hmm. We did not want, and I'm surprised that didn't happen, but again, maybe that's just, I don't know. It was uninspired from the Crew. It sucks too, because Cucho had this quote, I don't know if you saw this before the game.
Yeah.
The MLS Soccer put it out, like MLS.com or the MLS Twitter feed. It was Cucho saying, when I don't win, I want to die, or when I lose, I want to die, or something like that. Like, we read that on the show yesterday, talking about, like, hell yeah, dude, it's time. Let's go. This is the guy. Look at that. Hey, Ohio State, we could use some people who feel that way on the offensive line. and then you got nothing. Not that he wasn't trying, not that they all weren't trying, but it was just a step slow, a step off. It felt like they believed there was just, at some point,
that the ball was going to go in without trying anything crazy because they were the Crew. And they built up a fortress at home that at some point a ball was going to go in for them.
Yeah. It didn't feel like,
but they didn't, it wasn't
like I have to go make this happen. It was like, this is just going to happen. We know it'll happen. We just keep plugging away, doing the same old stuff. It'll eventually break through.
Everything was like, so straightforward last night too.
Yeah.
Like it was totally out of the norm from what we're used to seeing, like intricate passing, whipping the ball around. And maybe to your point, like just being a half step off. Well, just a half a second slow, or maybe one guy not playing inside of what everybody else is trying to do. I thought AZ Jackson last night wasn't playing inside of the system at all.
No.
Like, he would get the ball, he'd run into space, get the ball taken away from him. I'm like,
what are you doing?
I'm like, I don't think that, and he's a terrific young player. I think he's going to be good. I don't think that Wolf is going to like exactly what you're trying to do. Like, man beaters, I'm all for it. Like, if you want to take on someone one-on-one and you have the confidence enough in your game to be able to do that, I love that. When that doesn't happen two or three times in a row, maybe look for a different area.
Dude, maybe I wasn't, you know, fully engaged, but I feel like in the second half of that game especially, I felt like it couldn't have been more than a handful of times where the Crew would gain possession, get up to midfield, start to make a push to the offensive third, and then go, it's not there, and then pull it back out, and then the ball goes all the way back to Schulte. Mm-hmm. Like, how many times have you seen a good Crew team do that, where they, like, where this team with Wilfried Nancy, they will play it all the way back to Schulte, they will regroup, Camacho will stand over the ball, he'll wait 5 seconds for someone to come up, he will make a square pass to someone else who's also 100 yards, 80 yards away from the goal, he'll stand on the ball for a second, and then they will start just, okay, it's not here right now, we're going to be methodically annoying until you pull out of this defensive shape you're in. Instead,
Red Bulls never did that.
No, because the Crew, I feel like a lot of times the Crew were like, we've got to attack. Like, we're down a goal, like hair on fire. We need to do our, like, quick passing, all that stuff, which is fine. But you haven't worn them out yet to really gain, to like, to, you haven't earned the right to do that, because you haven't, almost all the times where that's successful, it's because you've spent 5 minutes wearing them out with chasing the game, chasing the ball. You're dictating the pace of play.
Yeah, and they got the first goal, so they didn't. They're like, okay.
No, and then they sat back. And if I'm the Crew, I would have been like, okay. I mean, I know you have to go a little bit more when you're down, but, like, at some point, you humans are humans. The whole Wilfried Nancy, he gambles the most on the fact that humans will do human things.
Yep.
That is his system. And he has always been, if you keep the ball back here and if you just slow everything down, athletes who are in a high adrenaline environment are going to want to chase it. And eventually you will break them and they will chase you. And that is when the Crew are at their best. Mm-hmm. And last night it felt like the Crew were the ones whose psyche was being exploited by New York's coaching staff.
Yeah, they were chasing.
They were the ones that were like, we got to just plow into this, you know, 18. They got 18 people, it felt like, back there. We're going to. Yeah. And they would have, like, they would create chances to someone who is like, you know, just watching soccer and is not familiar with how the Crew play. They'd be like, well, they generated some chances, right? But we all know those chances were not like,
well, they weren't like the chances that they're usually
there were
getting.
A couple that, like any soccer game, there's a couple that just get through, but there were not the chances that you see when the Crew are humming, where it's like, man, they had 6 or 7 legit, and maybe they didn't finish them because they just weren't sharp.
Yeah.
But it's like, they totally broke this team down, and now they've got a ball in behind at the 18 and a guy's running it on the keeper, and it's going to take a great effort by the keeper, and then he makes it, and, you know, you don't get the shot off, but, like, they weren't getting those. It was all
and
around.
And they got a couple of big saves, like the DeJuan Jones save at the very end.
That was a huge save. You're right.
Because he could have played square ball, right? Like, Cucho was right in the box. And I know, I mean, that game, it's going so quick.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, everything was like, there was no opportunity for the Crew to make choices. It was all, like, instinctual, quick passing. And New York, I will tell you, I've rarely seen a team defend, because the Crew usually can break teams down, even when they're playing quick like that. Even if they're not pulling you back out, mm-hmm. they can still get some better chances than what they were getting last night. New York was playing out of their minds good. I guess if you want to hear a positive spin, positive bone, I'll turn this around upside down.
Everybody loves positive bone.
Do we think New York is capable of playing like that one more time in a row, either of the next two games? I don't think they're good. I think that's the best game the Red Bulls played all year.
I agree with that, and I don't think that they're capable of that.
Right. So I'm not trying to say this will be easy, but I hope this...
With the caveat that then I'm very nervous for Sunday.
Of course. But what I'm getting to is, yeah, the Crew have no margin for error. You had one game you could lose out of three. Now you've lost it, so you have to win the next two. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You are playing three games now. Hopefully. You may not. You may have one more game in you, and that's it. If that happens, that will be one of the all-time biggest disappointments I've ever felt as a Crew fan, if this team doesn't get out of this round. But I'm hopeful that they will get it done Sunday. And then I am hopeful that
they get it done next Sunday.
Yeah. But it is going to be a really weird, like, you have that game Sunday. If they win it, you play one more time and then there's 2 weeks off.
Yep.
And that, like, you won't not play the Red Bulls for like a solid month and a half.
After,
like,
playing them four times in two
No,
weeks.
I'm saying, like, you play only the, like, you will have played a non-MLS, what am I saying? You will not have played a
any
team
other
in MLS,
MLS
other than the Red Bulls for like a month and a half by the time, if they can get out of this. So, which is a huge if right now. But I am banking on the fact that this will refocus the Crew. I am banking on the fact that New York cannot play that well two more games. But now you are at the mercy of luck. You are at the mercy of, you can play your most, like the most precise game you've ever had, and soccer's cruel, and it can still bite you.
You're at the mercy of the 90 minutes. We've seen crazy things happen.
You could absolutely see a game where the Crew are like, come out hair on fire on the road. They push. Maybe they
the way Atlanta was a couple of years ago with Zach Steffen. Remember that game?
Yeah, absolutely right.
It's like Atlanta wins that game 95 times out of 100.
Yes.
And that game was just tied 0-0 the whole way, and then you got through on penalty kicks.
Yeah, right. And I don't like the idea. Again, if you need to go put two goals up in the first half or something like that against New York. Like, it needs to be...
You need to kill them early.
Yes, like, you need to come in to that game and give New York every reason to go, that's all right, we'll go back on the road and we'll get one and we'll go to penalties or something with them. Like, you need to get them doubting early. You cannot have them think by the 60th minute, oh, it's 1-0. All we need is one fluky goal.
Nope.
And we can kill this series off right here at home in front of our fans. No, you can't do that. Good news is I don't think it's going to be much of an environment there in New York. I don't think that fan base shows up for anything. I don't think you're going to see that be like a packed
4:30 on Sunday too, right? Smack dab in the middle of like NFL windows.
Yeah, man, it's also great because this only matters to me, but literally Sunday I have an appearance with Bud Light, which I'm happy to do. I will be out at Yogi's in Dublin, right up on Hard Road. Yeah. And then after that, I'm going to be going to my kid's basketball. She's doing, my middle one, Ava's doing basketball. They have evaluations. I'm coaching. So I will be at like a gym until 7 p.m. So I will miss all of this. Like, I will miss this entire like nerve wracking game, which will probably be good.
Yeah, it's okay for you.
But I mean, not okay, because I want to watch it. I want to live and die with it. But at the same time, if it goes poorly, then it'll be nice to look at my phone and be like,
get on the line. Yeah. Get on the line.
Just blowing whistles, making them run
you
line
and
drills.
Herb Brooks.
Yeah, that's again. Right. Yeah, again. Yeah, even though it's not their fault.
Crappy performance. Flush it.
Flush it and move on. And let's hope that Diego Rossi's healthy. You guys had Issa Tall on Morning Juice today, and he said he should be good to go for Sunday.
Yeah, we were talking to him. You can go listen to that anywhere you get your podcast from. Type in Morning Juice if you want to listen to that. He talked to us for about 5 minutes just about, you know, the performance last night and what was going on. And I asked him, I said, what about Diego Rossi? Said he took a knock in practice this week, wasn't able to go last night, but he should be in the lineup on Sunday. I said, all right, thank you very much. That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, let's hope so. They need something. And he has been, as we know, in CONCACAF Champions Cup playoff last year.
Very good.
He is a difference maker in these type of games, and not having him out there was a big dynamic changer for the Crew. So let's hope he can be back and be that guy. Before we take a break, quick thoughts. MLS, the rumors are that this was from, I think, The Athletic initially reported this.
I think you're right.
That MLS is considering a scheduling change post-World Cup. According to the report, they are prioritizing moving to a fall-spring season with breaks in the summer and winter, and possibly organizing teams into divisions instead of conferences. This would allow for them to, they say, capitalize on the interest in the game after the 2026 World Cup, which, of course, would be in the U.S. Mm-hmm. So I've always, I mean, again, how do you feel about that initially?
I initially feel like it. I like it the way it is, but I like things the way that they are. I get to watch the Crew when things aren't going, a lot of things aren't going on. Like February, March, Crew season gets started up. It gives me something to look forward to every weekend while the Blue Jackets are usually out of playoff contention by then. We'll see how they look this year. I'm excited about the CBJ.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. It's like,
I'm not really a big NBA guy. I know that you are. Like, I'm not watching that. I get to watch the Crew every weekend from February all the way like through the summer. They take me through the summer months, which is great. And then, I mean, fall for us personally, like, it's very busy. Like, we've got a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy time of the season for us. So I like it the way it is. I know that a lot of your teams are in the northern part of the country. Like, it's cold. They did say that they would shut the league down basically from like end of December until February.
Okay.
It's a 6 week break.
If they were to do something. Yeah. I mean, they're basically doing a slightly different version, but a bigger version of like the German break,
like
that
the
they
Bundesliga
do
break,
in the Bundesliga, which is good, right? You have to do something like that. I wonder if they would go all the way to like what Mexico does with the Apertura Clausura.
Just play two seasons.
And have them both count for the season. But you know what? Let's make it the most complicated. We're already going to change everything again on people who follow this damn league. So yeah, I had multiple people who have season tickets texting me last night going, when did this thing go to three games? These are people attending this game who are like, wait a second. When did this happen?
Dead?
Right. And it's
you still have an opportunity?
No, they've changed this and it's okay. They changed it, I think, last year, the year before.
It was last year was the first.
Yeah, that was the first.
Because I remember us not knowing about it
with Atlanta.
4 weeks into the season.
Yes.
Like, hey, we finalized the playoff format.
Yeah, because they didn't even have it at the initial start of the season last year, which was ridiculous. But yeah, all of this is said to say, I don't know that it drastically changes. If you're a fan of a good team, right, your team is going to be playing in October, in November, in December, because that's how the playoffs are.
Yeah.
And that can be handled. If you are a fan of a garbage team, I don't know how you're going to feel about, especially if that garbage team is not in the warmer climates. Mm-hmm. Like, it might actually benefit teams that are bad, but they're in like Texas or Florida or California, where it's like, hey, the weather's not great, but not great means it's like 60, you know, or 50, but you can put a big jacket, you know, I honestly think they'll have the same problem there because people there are acclimatized to their weather. Mm-hmm. So they will see 50 degrees and go, oh my God, it's so cold, and they won't go.
That's a good point.
I don't know what you're going to do in February in Minnesota, in February in Chicago, February in New York, Toronto, you know, Columbus, obviously, Boston. You go on down the list. I mean, and even D.C. is not, is Washington, D.C. like
warm? Well, they get snow, yeah.
They get tons of, they get cold weather, snow, all that stuff.
Seattle, Vancouver, Portland.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I know that that's more like a rain.
I know what you're saying, but still, it's cold and rain. Like, is 40 degrees and pouring rain really, like, what you want to go sit in? If you're in, I'm talking February and March, which I know the season starts late February, early March anyway.
But you're through it at that point. Like, it's at the beginning of the season, you're excited. Imagine that being, like, match day 22.
Yeah,
when you're in the, quote, the dog days.
I feel like, and again, I don't know where the majority of people stay on this. For me, it has little to do with this is the way we've always done it. It is, why do they always do it this way? Answer, because like you said, in the spring, there's kind of an absence of a once a week schedule game like you have with football.
Yeah.
Football is a fall sport in this country, has been forever. College, high school, and obviously the NFL, there's a rhythm to that. Lots of people will not upset their rhythm to that to then go, MLS opening weekend is whatever, August 15th or something, or August 28th, or whatever they do it. It's like, you may get them for that first week, and then by week 3, 4, and 5, where you should have decent crowds, you will have half your, like, in a lot of markets, you will have half the attendance, because people will say, sorry, I just got, my kids are back in school, all this stuff's going on. When it starts up in the spring, I think you have a way easier time getting people out to these games. I just feel like it's, and then it suits itself so well for like gaining momentum through the middle of the season. Summertime is where you see the biggest crew every year for decades has had the biggest attendance from June, July, August.
Yeah.
Kids are out of school. People are, you know, feeling a little better about the finances. You don't have Christmas and holiday season coming up anytime soon. You can spend some extra money on tickets. Stuff like that matters when you're selling tickets to a group of people. And I don't know that now putting like the majority of your season in a time that surrounds the holidays, I don't know if that's great. You're going to have people busy with more of that stuff. I feel like
I'm guessing this is a ploy too for the league to say, look at the playoffs. They're happening in May, June. What else is going on? Like, you know what I mean? Like
through
April and May, and then they can pump the playoffs and say,
you're right,
there's not a whole lot else going on. Look at our playoff number. Everything's
you're 100% right.
Everything
but
is,
I feel like, well, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say everything is doctored as a money grab. The only reason they would do this is if their financial predictors are saying you can make more money by doing this XYZ, and to get on the same schedule as Europe, like, that's fine. But you've always been a weird league.
Yeah, you know what?
Stay a weird league.
And I agree with. I know what you're saying. Here's the other side of that. WNBA has what schedule? They have the similar schedule to MLS, where they say, when is the NBA over?
Late spring.
We're going to be starting right
summer,
as they're ending
into early fall.
And then when do they end? Right as the NBA is about to start.
They just did.
Yes.
They
just finished a couple weeks ago. So, like, they are capitalizing on the fact that you want basketball. NBA's over. You're sad about that. Go watch this other league that you are not as familiar with, but it's not as old as some of those other leagues, as the other league you are more familiar with. but it gets you pro basketball in pro basketball arenas, and you feel that, and you can enjoy that if you love basketball. And obviously, you have to have stars. Caitlin Clark, a good example. You have to have stars for Major League Soccer, too, right? But I don't feel like your league, I know you're trying to avoid looking like the retirement league, and you're trying to avoid looking like the weird league. At the end of the day, you're a league that is in the United States of America. It is one of the biggest media markets remains in the world. Whatever you do is going to be, it's going to draw eyeballs, like, if you do it well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if England doesn't do it this way and if France doesn't do it this way. Who cares? You're not marketing to those people.
Yeah.
Your market, you need to get the U.S. market, which is heavily dominated by the NFL. That market, you're going to introduce them to your product every year in NFL season.
Yeah.
Good luck. NASCAR has suffered this problem because their playoff, and again, the crew have this, or the MLS has this too. NASCAR and MLS both have their playoff runs, their end of season stuff, happen smack in the middle of the NFL season. I get that that's not great either for traction and getting people to pay attention to it. But at some point, if you're going to just say, well, now we have a window that's a little more open in June, fine. You'll only be fighting with other soccer fans because they'll be watching, you know, Champions League final and stuff like that. But you're right. There's not as much going on there. Meanwhile, I think your momentum to start the season is going to be god-awful.
I just see the crew playing at Sunday at 4:30, and we host a crew podcast.
Yeah.
We host a soccer podcast. I'm like, boy, that's tough. That's in the middle of the 4 o'clock NFL.
It's going to be hard. Like I just said, even if I didn't have all that stuff going on Sunday, it would be like, well, yeah, but what NFL games are going on? I'm going to have to balance that.
It's also part of our job to, like, know what's going
on
there.
But even if I didn't, if it was like if the Browns were playing and the crew were playing, obviously.
If the crew were playing Saturday at noon.
Yeah.
I would have a tough time with that.
Because the Buckeyes are playing. This is kind of a thing. In the NFL, I got news for you. They're not slowing down on expansion.
No.
You think they're going to have later and later seasons. College football is now adding 12-team playoffs. They will go well into January now. You are not gaining anything by moving this thing. I don't think moving your championship down to the spring, because still a good majority of your season is going to be covered up by the NFL. Go ask the Blue Jackets when they sell more tickets. Mm-hmm. Outside of opening night, if they sell more tickets in the first few weeks, or if they get better attendance January, February, even if the team's bad, because that's when people are like, oh, I don't have NFL anymore. Oh, I'm not watching that anymore. Oh, let's go to the Jackets game.
That sounds awesome. Like a good Tuesday, Friday, whatever the game is on.
Ohio State basketball. Yeah. I know it's conference play. They never have attendance like they do in January, February. It's way better in January, February than it is earlier in the season.
Yep.
Because there's just other stuff going on that people are paying attention to. That's just the reality. So, all right, enough of a sports business lesson on that. I think this is a bad idea, but I don't want to sound – also, I don't want to sound the cold from November through March to see the majority of my team's games.
Talking about cold in November, it's like 80 degrees today.
It's not November yet.
That's, you know what? You're right. I rescind my statement.
Wake Me Up When November Ends is not the song, but all right, we'll take a break. We come back. Your guy out, Eric Ten Hag. We discuss it next. Man and Bone on the Fan. Man and Bone on the Fan? Leave it in. Bone and Beam United. Always tweet the program at Bone Beam United, or I guess at Man and Bone 971 if you want.
I didn't say anything right there, but in my mind, I'm like, wrong show. Wrong show.
It was the wrong show. It was. I did that all last week. I just kept saying Man and Bone.
Man and Bone. Man and Bone. Man and Bone.
Yeah. It got in there. I don't know how you do it, given that you've got
to. I don't have to say Bone and Beam United.
No, that's true. You don't. You've weaseled out of that.
You do that.
That's right.
You do that.
That's true.
I don't have to do it. I do it enough with the juice.
That's. Yeah, I know. I know you do. I'm saying, I don't know how every day you getting in and out of breaks, that's stressful. That's
in and out of, what are you talking about?
Oh, that stresses me out.
I don't have to do a hard out. A hard out's really where I have my problems.
Some of the greatest audio we've ever had. Blue Jerkers.
No, that was me having a stroke network Sports Center, which is going, by the way, to like 95 different radio stations across 4 states. And then
your
heart
out
one,
was the Blue Jerkers? Was that?
No,
or the jack-offs?
It's the jack-offs.
That's what it was.
So if you don't know what a heart out is, here's a little behind-the-scenes radio. So if you listen to the Buckeye Show every night, they usually kick it into network coverage. So whether that be the Blue Jackets or ESPN Radio or whatever. Unless there's a local show on after you. Like in the mornings, I don't have to deal with it. Bishop and Friends are on right after me. It's local.
If you're 30 seconds early or late, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter because we've got guys on here.
Unless our program director's listening, in which case it so matters, yes. And we definitely know it matters, and please don't send us emails telling us that it does matter. We know
it, to the show.
We know it matters.
anyways, right. So every night it would be like 9 or 7:55, 52. Yeah. Like, and you would have to
Hit it at 55:52.
You saying like, okay, Blue Jackets up next. We'll be back tomorrow. Buckeye Show on the Fan. And sometimes you like drag it out because you don't have enough or you have too much and then you get rushed. And the one night I'm like, all right, Bob McGellit, Jody Shelley, Jackoff's next. And I just had a brain melt because I was worried about the clock.
Because you were probably saying Jackets and Face Off and yes. It just became Jackets Face Off is next and you just merged into yes. Jackoff's next.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That's all right. I think one of the first times I worked here, one of my first shows, I had something like that where I said, we had a guy who worked here named Evan, who everyone called
Bieber.
Yeah, because they said he looked like Justin Bieber, which he didn't, but whatever. That was what they called him. And so, like, I knew his name, and I was doing the whole, like, for so-and-so and our producer. And then I looked at him, and I was like, I totally blanked. And I was like,
for our producer.
We like to call him Bieber. and then that was it. And I was just like, on the Fan. And then that was, I didn't even say my name, I think. I just ended it.
Goodbye.
And yeah, I was like, because I'm looking down, it's like 5, 4, 3. And I'm like, so for our stressful. Producer, Bieber, I'm on the Fan.
Ah. It's so stressful. I hated doing that.
Yeah, that's annoying. Also annoying is when you can't win enough games and they fire you but give you a bunch of money to go away.
Yep.
I'd like to be annoyed like that. Erik ten Hag currently suffering that level of annoyance. Manchester United has relieved him of his duties. I always like it how the British tabloids say where they'll say he was like surplus to requirements.
Yes.
It's a great way to put that. So he's out of the job. They are reportedly looking at Sporting Crystal Palace coach.
Yes, Sporting Crystal Palace. My guys.
Sporting CP coach Ruben Amorim.
Yep.
He's acknowledged interest in the job.
It's going to be done.
Portuguese club that he's with, they are willing to pay his $10 million release clause to get him to go there.
Appears, had to get Fergie off the books.
Yeah. They did. And that's why they want to get this done before Sunday. So maybe by the time you hear this, it is done. But, yeah, this is not great for Erik ten Hag. Manchester United just continues to be that team that's better than a lot, but not up to their standards at all.
You know where I'm at with him right now?
Where are you?
I'm in the worst place to be as a fan base. I'm apathetic.
Yeah.
I've got apathy. Yeah. I was watching the West Ham game down at City Tavern where we watched the United games, watched the first half. Willie was like, he was being a lot down there. So I looked at Mary, I said, let's go. It's not worth it. I don't really care about what's going on in the game. Like, it's more worth it to.
Yeah, you're not even get to, like, hang out with your friends because you got the kid running around. It's like, well, but the game's not even.
We got home. We were, like, having lunch, and Mary goes, you want to turn the game on, see what happened? I'm like, no. I just don't care. I don't care. I'm at the worst place you can be with apathy.
I get it.
I have no faith at Ruben Amorim. I'm sure he's a lovely guy. I'm sure he's a great coach and does great things at Sporting. He's got, like, 30 goals scored this year in 10 games and only 2 given up. I'm sure that he's awesome.
That's dominant.
I just don't. Until I see it happen, I'm not going to fall back into the trap. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
No, hey.
I'm over him.
I think it is not wrong. This is like a defense mechanism that sports fans build up. I mean, people build it up in life, right? You have relationships where you see it's going south and you're like, you know what? I'm not going to text as much. I'm not going to call as much. I'm going to disengage a little bit so I don't get hurt by this and I don't, you know, get my feelings hurt. People pull away like that. Same thing with sports where you're just looking at it going,
ask me how the Bears Hail Mary went on Sunday. I've disengaged from that franchise years ago.
Yes, but every year you believe. That's like every year you do get worked into belief. Like I was
most
texting.
Most of that is just me telling myself that.
No, but even like you last week were telling Timmy Hall about Jaden Daniels, quarterback for the Commanders, who had been injured in the previous game.
Yep.
Next week he's playing your Bears. This past weekend was when that game was.
Yep.
And you told Timmy on Sunday afternoon, you're like, oh, he'll be fine. He's going to play.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you already knew in your heart of hearts, if there is a questionable injury and the guy could not play, what would be beneficial for your team would be that he doesn't play. You knew he would.
Yes.
Because you knew he would be healthy. So you like had that called
all week,
on Sunday.
He was asking me, he's like, what do you mean? How do you know this? I'm like, he's going to play.
And you were right. And what happened?
He threw a Hail Mary with the zeros on the clock.
beat the Bears. I texted Timmy that night and said, boy, Beam was right, huh? And he goes, yeah, looked really healthy on that throw. And I said, I bet, yeah, he did.
Yep, I was super pumped. It was actually funny. So I had Willie, he was getting done with his bath on Sunday night. This was around like 7:30 around bedtime when this game was culminating.
Yes.
And so he came out. There's like 30 seconds left to go in the game. Bears score a touchdown to go up. They then get a two-point conversion to go up 1-3. I'm like, all right, great. Field goal will tie the game. Now they just need to beat, like, now they need to score. They need to score a touchdown, or they need to get into field goal range. Or maybe it wasn't even that. I don't remember.
No, I know what you mean. It was close.
Regardless. Very close. Maybe they went up from 3-5 or
whatever
matter.
They needed a touchdown. Yeah, you knew they needed a touchdown.
They needed a touchdown to win. And so Willie and I'm like holding him in my hands. I'm like, yeah, they did it. And we're like dancing around. He's having a good time. And then Mayor goes, okay, let's put pajamas on him. Let's get him to bed. I'm like, let him watch. 20 seconds left to go in the game. Let him watch. You know, I'm like,
let the boy watch. Yeah, right.
So they're moving down the field. She goes, they're going to lose, aren't they? And I said, probably. Like, and they're on like the 50-yard line getting ready to throw a Hail Mary. And so when that pass was completed and when the Commander scored, I slunked back into my chair.
Uh-huh.
I put my hands on my head. I didn't say anything. And then Willie was right next to me because he was right next to me the whole time.
Yeah.
He's like poking me in the stomach. Dada?
Yeah.
Hi? He's like asking questions because
they can tell.
Oh, God.
They don't know what's going on at that age, but they know what's going on. Like, they know. They're like, Dad's mood has changed, and I need to hug on him or give him some snuggles because I'm not sure what's going on right now.
Oh, man.
The amount of times where my kids at different ages would be like, Dad, did our team lose? And it's like, yes, honey, they did. Oh, Does that bother you? And it's like, yes, it does. It bothers me greatly. It's like, oh, was that expected? No, they weren't supposed to lose. They're the better team. But it's like, you have to like, no, honey, they were the better team.
It was okay.
Yeah, I was just a little frustrated by that.
I think patience comes from being a parent watching sports with your kids. I think that just explaining the loss.
When you see these videos of guys that like walk up and punch their TV, it's just like,
I get it.
Either you don't have kids or your kids have been grown for so long.
Yep.
Like it might be like a 70-year-old man that does that. But like, yeah, because you're learning it. I've learned it where it's just like,
yeah.
Ah, did we just get beat? Well, we sure did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? That's
where I'm at with United. I'm just like,
Yeah, right.
Not that I'm not a fan. I'm not.
No.
But I just don't.
You have your expectation level. Your formative years, you got to see some of the greatest soccer teams ever assembled.
Well, the greatest soccer players of all time.
Greatest soccer players, greatest soccer teams, yeah. Arguably the greatest coach of all time or one of, right? And Sir Alex. I mean, that's. And now you've got this. A parade of goobers just coming in, wearing the track jacket, wearing all the gear, and they're getting players with big contracts to come in who then do a lot of good things and keep you top five or top eight or top seven.
Not this year, pal.
No, but like that's what it's been. It's like, well, a lot of people in English soccer would be happy with that result. Not Manchester United fans because they were spoiled and rightfully so.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be happy with that.
Totally.
It's like Buckeye fans, how they get with teams where it's like, why didn't we beat everyone? It's like, hey, you know what? Fair enough.
Liverpool for so long. This is what they did.
Yeah. This is now you have the Liverpool existence.
I know. This is it. This is it for me. This is my life.
Yeah. And I can't, I, you know what? Again, I don't root for Manchester United. I root for Beam. I root for you. And I would love to see them be better so you could enjoy it.
You don't have to worry about it because they're not, and it's fine.
I know.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I heard Jose say after the Fenerbahce game, which they played United last week and drew them, that he goes, in 2 years' time, when my contract runs up here at Fenerbahce, some English club with no European ties, come get me. And I'm like, I can't wait to see Jose coach Everton for a year. So that would be amazing. Jose Mourinho at Everton.
Are they going to be in the Premier League by that point?
That's a good question. Maybe United will still be doing this in a couple of years, and they'll go back to Jose.
Can I interest you in rooting for a truly dominant team? I want you to just, for the rest of the year, watch your Manchester United all you want. Mm-hmm. Join me in rooting on the Black Cats of Sunderland as they continue their dominance. 12 games played. 9 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses, 28 points. Second is Burnley with 23. Third is Leeds with 20. Like, they're they're smoking them.
We're getting up.
We got a 5-point lead, and we're not even in November yet.
We're getting up.
Oh, we're going up. It's right.
Automatic.
Oh, it's going to. Dude, I'm telling you, this Sunderland team has figured it out. They're like, we don't want to mess around. They've been in that playoff so many times. Yep. They've done playoffs all these different times. No, they know now, win the whole damn thing and get right on through.
Clinch
that bad boy in April.
Don't even worry right away.
Yeah, you don't even worry about playoffs, nothing. You're just done. They're putting it Boxing Day. Going to be sealed. They're going to win every game between now and Boxing Day.
I mean, you next year with Sunderland back in the Premier League and United in the Championship is going to be awesome. It's a real role
reversal.
Two
ships passing in the night, just, you know. Telling you, though, let's get some – you and I need to go out and watch a Sunderland game.
Yeah.
We'll find one that's on TV. We'll go out and watch it. We'll watch them just destroy – we'll watch the stadium
Whatever's
light.
In their path.
Yeah. They'll have 50,000 people out there at the stadium light, just so excited. And then you and I can enjoy some brews, and you have no stakes in it. If they lose, who cares?
I've got stakes in too many things. No, but you can less stakes.
I'm just saying, you can – that's what I mean. You can watch this, stakes. And if they win, you can feel like, hey, that's my team. If they lose, you can be like, ah, who cares? I never rooted for them before today.
Day. Yeah, doesn't
matter. You don't care. It's great. You shouldn't
Fuck
care.
These guys.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I'm saying. Instead of Manchester United, where it's like you have to pretend like you have no stakes, you can really come root for a team that has similar colors. You can even wear your Manchester United gear. Most people won't even notice. You're just wearing black and red and white. And
welcome in here, pal.
Similar colors. It's all good. We're great. You're in. All right. We'll get you out to a Sunderland game. We'll do that. And finally.
Maybe I'm the curse.
No, it's not. I might be the curse. Blame yourself. It's not you. Vinicius Jr., he was not going to win the Ballon d'Or. He was aware of this, so he decided not to go to the ceremony where they gave out all the awards.
I've got no problem with it. Listen, it's a made-up award. I know that we put a lot of pomp and circumstance about it. We talked about Messi and Ronaldo for all those years, but I know it looks like from the outside Vinny throwing a fit. Anytime it's like, hey, sorry for not going to your dumb award ceremony.
No, man. I am. And again, I
also
am,
Real Madrid won team of the year. Leverkusen should have won that.
As someone who has rooted for Real Madrid, why would you not give it to the team that ran the table and had one
Real
of the
Madrid
most unbelievable seasons?
They do it every year.
Bayer Leverkusen was the team of the year last year. No questions asked.
Yeah.
And by Jamie Vardy's team with that whole Leicester thing, they were, I presume, the team of the year that year, right? They had to have
been.
When they won I'm saying if they weren't, it's a travesty because it doesn't matter what anybody else did that year. Leicester wasn't supposed to do what they did, team of the year. Bayer Leverkusen, not supposed to do that last year, should have been team of the year. And Vinny, to me, is the best player on planet Earth last year. So I don't understand if you want to say Rodri is great. Rodri is awesome too. I'm not denying that, but I also don't blame superstar athletes for being superstars and saying, yeah, sorry, this dumb award show that needs me more than I need it.
I'm not going to win the award. Treatment.
And all the Real Madrid players were like, yeah, we got his back. We're not going either.
Yeah.
You know what? Welcome to fixture congestion. FIFA wants all these. They want to have all these ceremonies and they want to have all these games. You got to pick something. The players, if they're not going to be involved, I would say next year you're going to have more people doing that. More players will be like, oh, sick. I don't have to go to that. Great.
Sweet. Thanks, Vinny.
I mean, I'll go because that seems like a great time to just be, you know, wined and dined and have a nice big appearance. You know, that whole thing would be great. But if you're not winning and you've got millions of dollars anyway.
If you are Vinny, you don't need to go.
He can go get wined and dined wherever he wants to, whenever he wants to. Yeah. So he's great. He doesn't need that. It's an obligation.
I thought it was great. I had no problem with it.
Yeah. I don't blame him at all. So, all right. That's our hot take on that. Skip award ceremonies. Who cares?
Doesn't matter.
That's right. All right, that's it for us. We will see you next week on,
Man and Bone.
Bone and Beam United.
Man and Bone.
Right here on Morning Juice.
Goodbye.